You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au. So, big day yesterday, huh? What was yesterday, anyway? That was big for you. I thought people would volunteer at the grand final, but obviously not. The Jewish friends on the street where I live, and yesterday was the grand final. It was also Yom Kippur, the high holy day, and the son really wanted to see the grand final, and the father says, we got to go to temple, it's high holy days. And the son's, I really want to see the grand final. Father's like, what's your annual obligation, high holy days? We've got to go to temple. And father says, don't worry, we can record it. We can record it. And the kid says, oh, great. I didn't know you could record Yom Kippur. Yes. Yesterday at nightfall, about the same time the game ended, was the close of Yom Kippur, the Jewish Day of Atonement. Big day for some people in our community. Completes the annual period of high holy days that begin with Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur is a special Sabbath day, a day when people make their peace with anyone they have wronged or slighted or injured or in any way neglected over the previous 12 months. Now, open as we Unitarians are to wisdom and grace from all religious traditions, there is much we might gain from this practice of taking the opportunity every little once in a while to search our hearts and to seek forgiveness for the sorts of transgressions we are all capable of, to seek forgiveness by forgiving others for transgressions we're all capable of, and sometimes, hardest of all, forgive ourselves for being capable of having failings. And it is good and fitting that we make this invitation collectively as worship, supporting each other as one body. We all remember the words of the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." This is usually misunderstood as a kind of divine quid pro quo. If I forgive others, then I'll get forgiveness. Yes. So I better be nice to others so they, and maybe God, will be nice to me in return. That's not what the line means. It's not a bartered transaction like a trade. Forgiveness is a process by which we self-heal. The more we become capable of forgiving others, the more we are released from our own brutal self-criticism and perfectionism. We grow in acceptance that we are all merely human, merely beings. So we Unitarians need not consider the formal practice of atonement as a way of becoming right with God, as Jews do in their tradition, so much as a way of becoming right with ourselves. And in so doing, to make healthy our relationships, and thus the world. Atonement means to become at one, at one-ment. That is, whole, which shares the same root as the word heal. A whole person, an at-one person, acknowledges their inherent human fallibility, acknowledges that they are imperfect beings that are not in perfect control of themselves. We're scarcely aware of, much less wisely understand, our own complex compulsions, right? Acknowledge that we can't foresee all the consequences of our actions. In atoning, we acknowledge, too, the common moral vanity of judging our fellow beings. Mortals who are similarly flawed and who are often forced by cascading circumstances, cultural and social pressures, ever incomplete knowledge, into making poor decisions that do not reflect the best in them and have unintended, perhaps injurious, results. Because hasn't fallibility, circumstance, pressure of not knowing, and occasional bad judgments been a description of ourselves, too? Moral judgment of others is always, nearly always, projection. We judge and condemn in others what we most fear and loathe in ourselves. And so the wisdom of Yom Kippur, which begins the Jewish New Year, is to consciously hit the reset button and to start afresh towards reconciliation and love. And that includes reconciliation with and love for one's self. We may be a day late, but I'm told that's better than never. To be clear, atonement doesn't mean wallowing in guilt feelings, which is its own kind of narcissism, isn't it? Oh, I'm so very, very bad. I'm such a bad person. And that's your cue to tell me that I'm not really so bad and really quite okay. I don't propose a breast-beating mea culpa free-for-all, but something more measured and sacral and personal. Now, how you carry forth today's experience and live it outside the service is, of course, up to you. But think it possible. Think it possible that there is someone you need to forgive. Think it possible there's someone you need to ask forgiveness of. Think it possible that that someone could also be you. But be warned, atonement as practiced is not some easy DIY fix-up job. The job of forgiveness is not to paper over cracks, fudge a prefabricated compromise, or sweep mistakes or uneasy memories under the rug. The goal of atonement is not to make yourself feel better or to present a shinier front end to the world. The task is ownership, to really own our transgressions, to say, I did this. I said this to you, and I was wrong. I neglected this. I botched this. I betrayed you in this way. The task of atonement is not about comfort. It's about owning the truth, because the truth always, always redeems. But as in all things, atonement is a choice. Forget the easy piety that says knee-jerk forgiveness is the one and only course you must take. You get to choose at Yom Kippur whether and how you will participate in atonement. You get to choose what needs fixing, if anything, between you and yourself, you and your relationships, between you and all of your gods, or none at all. You can forgive or not forgive. You can ask for forgiveness or not. The question, it seems to me, is what decision of yours will make your world, your social network, your church more at one, more whole? So to this wholesome end, I invite you to take part in a liturgy consisting of three parts, a litany, a ritual, and a meditation. To begin, this litany, the intention is to make our church a safe space to be human and undertake forgiveness. Please open your hearts and say in unison with me these words when prompted. Here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven. I'll prompt you. Let us in the quiet of our hearts call to mind those we have hurt in any way, whether through word or deed, or thought. Here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven. Let us call to mind the excuses we have made, just to be seen to be right. Here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven. Let us call to mind the blame or scapegoating we have placed on others over and over again. Here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven. Let us call to mind when we have passed up the opportunity to help someone because we were afraid or busy. Here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven. Let us call to mind when we have hidden the truth from someone. Here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven. Let us call to mind any lingering bitterness we harbor for anyone. Here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven. Let us call to mind the times when we have not heard or not even listened. Here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven. Let us bear in mind that forgiveness is never easy, whether for yourself or for someone else. But how can we become whole without at-one-ment? How can we become whole? Here is a place to forgive and to be forgiven. So may it be. So this service is prompted not only by the Jewish liturgical calendar, but also by a change of, let's call it, perspective. Occasioned, as many changes are, by tears and a journey. This last trip back to the England I left nearly 20 years ago became a journey of apology and regret, and thus a need to forgive and to ask forgiveness. My old community of friends, with whom I began career and family and all that sort of life entails, are now all retiring. They're retiring to little places they're doing up in Spain and the south of France and Italy. And their kids, like mine, have grown up and out. Their loyalty to our old workplace has been rewarded and corresponding honors bestowed on them. And the sweet rest and beautiful reward that awaited them was not going to be my story. And that was nobody's doing but mine. During the laughs and the food and the gossip and the drink of our customary and much anticipated catching up, it began to occur to me that maybe I have made rather a botched job of my life. Always chasing after the next something else, whatever it was at the time. And in their company, a parallel universe opened up where I could imagine myself not gone, but remained and still amongst them, retiring too now in well-earned comfort among people I loved and knew and was loved and known by. I saw how much I'd missed them and have never really come as close again to having a crowd of peers like that again. This was my doing. How I beat myself up over this regret. As the real ale flowed that night and pie-eyed sentiment increased, I confessed to one of these old friends how bereft I felt, and how these visits, which I make regularly, were dear to me, but could never fill in the blanks of incomplete relationship. And in one of those private cone of silence bubbles that, you know, can sometimes happen between two people in a crowded, noisy room, I was told something that gave me a sharp and tender shock. I was told they had felt abandoned, betrayed at my going all those years ago. Ouch. They understood my reasons, of course, new wife, new child, the lure of a glorious and boundless opportunities in a radically new and exotic place. Such an adventure had beckoned me. But there was no getting around the fact that my sudden trajectory hurt them. And even though years and new relationships closed over the gap, my sudden sundering and sudden and unapologetic sundering had left in their lives, their lingering sense was that I had ditched them, that they were expendable. Sorry as I was, what can you do but own that? The thing about hurting people is you don't get to decide whether you hurt them or not. You did X and it resulted in Y. Now, since no one lives in a vacuum, since our lives touch and interpenetrate with so many others, we are inevitably going to let each other down from time to time, are we not? No matter how fond we are. And a Jewish friend reminded me that Yom Kippur was coming. And the wisdom of a day of atonement offers us all a chance to refresh and renew. Jewish tradition said that we should forgive our neighbors who let us down 7 times. A certain Galilean Jew, who must never be named in this house, was more emphatic, saying we should forgive not 7 times, but 70 times 7, by which, of course, he meant a lot. But how often do we, though, really forgive and ask forgiveness? Don't get the wrong idea. I love my life as I have now made it. And nobody lives backwards. You can't have a better past. That's a metaphysical impossibility. And I cannot live forward well if I endlessly disparage myself for not managing to be endlessly beneficent and present for every single person I form relationships with. It is my life too, and to err is human and all that. But to deny or ignore our capacity for transgression, even unconscious transgression and regret, is to live in the serious denial of the truth. And so forgiveness is absolutely necessary if we're going to risk loving and being loved again. My life is rich, full, and interesting, but anyone who tells you that their life, no matter how rich, full, and interesting, is free of regret and therefore exempt from needing forgiveness, well, you can tell them your minister says they're a damn liar. The wisdom of Yom Kippur asks us to, helps us to, face up to these regrets and failings and bitternesses and offers us a regular practice of dissolving them. Like our candle flame, regret burns. And anger burns when we ourselves are hurt. It burns like fire. But that burning may be quenched by our resolve to forgive and to seek forgiveness. So I'm going to invite you to take a step toward that today with a little ritual, a gesture towards wholeness. All change begins as gesture, and I hope this gesture inspires you to hit your own reset button regularly for more whole and wholesome living. All our lives, we've been told to seek that which is good, to seek the light, and to turn towards beauty and truth. But the truth is that the world is not pure, unalloyed good. Always there are dualities. Any light we seek must cast shadow, and brokenness comes with the beauty. We might strive to be in right relationship with one another, but there are times when we get angry or disappointed, even as we sometimes anger or disappoint others, whether it be harsh words said by a loved one, or the loss of friendship, the carelessness of a stranger, or the scars left by a childhood trauma. Our world is far from perfect, but neither are we. And so we can't seek truth, beauty, and light without acknowledging and affirming that which is false, broken, and in shadow. For all these exist within us as well. In a time of silence now, let each of us remember one abiding wrong we have borne without forgiving it, or one nagging error that we have perpetuated without atoning for it, that we may forgive others and ourselves and forgive yet again. So ask yourself, what do you need to forgive? Or, what do you need to be forgiven for? Pause for reflection. There's going to be a time of music to follow. And as the music plays, let us write that one abiding resentment or giving form to that one grievance or lingering regret on the bits of paper that you were given. It's a little tough to write on, but that's because this is soluble paper. Write it on the paper, fold it up, scroll it up, ball it up, and bring them forward to dissolve in the water. Here's mine. And dissolve it will. So give some reflection to that. You might want to get a little elbow room in the pew so you can write in privacy. And there are the instructions. Write it down, come up, dissolve. In your own time, in silence, please, while Brendan plays. Having dissolved one lingering wrong, whether by us or to us, let us think it possible we can do more of this in our lives, that we may be made whole, and that our fellowship, both in here and in the world, can be made more whole. Let us find a place of stillness within us. Close your eyes if you wish, or gaze down. We'll begin this meditation by taking 3 deep breaths, breathing in peace, breathing out the thought of love. Let go of all that binds you, of all that burdens you, of what you carry. Let go of all that shames you, of trespasses and transgressions, of woundedness. Let go of guilt. Let go of anger. Let go of small-mindedness and pettiness, of ways of being that no longer work for you, of compulsions that consume your living. Let go of what you cannot change. Let go of regret. Let go of that which haunts you. Let go of pain. Let go of ways in which you missed the mark. Let go. Let it all go. This is the close of this special liturgy, the day after Yom Kippur. May it bring you peace within and without. So may it be.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.